It's so good to be here. This is like a city on a hill, I suppose. So let your light shine. How about that? You know, that's your, you know, and the cool thing, I've never been to Martinsville ever in my life. We're driving. But I like it. If Martinsville is all like this, and I'm going to be coming back more and more. But, you know, we're like driving into town, and we see the sign kind of welcoming everyone into the city. And I just thought, this is so prophetic. I mean, you probably are knowing what I'm saying right now, but it says a city without limits. A city without limits. Yeah, that's right. But that's your prophetic heritage here. That's been proclaimed over this city. And so I would just encourage you need to step into that, because that's a prophetic call from God to say to you, like, look, forget about the limitations that you have, you know, in your mind or what people have told you about limitations, because God says you're a city without limits. Amen. You're a church without limits. Yes. You have a prophetic heritage that the Lord is calling you to. And so what I want to talk to you about today is I want to talk to you about a part of the song that you were singing that said that he wants his bride to walk and live in her true name. So that's my message to you. And so, and I call it contending for prophetic words, or you can say it this way, contending for prophetic destiny, okay? Because there is a contending. And Pastor John, somewhat, he stole a little bit of my thunder to start out, so I forgive you, brother. I forgive you. I love you. He stole a little bit of my thunder because I used the word contending, because it is true. There is something that you and I have to do. When we get prophetic words, when we have declarations that are made over our lives, there's something for us to do. You know, it's not just we just sit back and just wait for something to happen. Now, there are times when there is the waiting. I don't discount that. That is true. But there is something that we have to do. We've got to get our hands dirty. You know, there's no profit. You know, if there's no ox in the stall, then the stall remains clean. But then that also means that there's no profit that takes place. But when there's a dirty stall because you've got an ox making a mess, then that means that there's profit being made. And that's something that you and I have to do. So we've got to get our hands a little dirty. So I'm going to talk to you about what it means to contend. But before I step into the message, I just want to pray for a second.
Yeah. Will you pray? Yeah. Can you just make sure and include a specific, what is prophecy?
Okay. Okay.
We have a nice variety of people here.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. All right. So before I pray or after? After. Okay. All right. What is prophecy? Okay, all right, very good. So, Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing here on this hill, in this church, in this body of believers, Lord, that have poured out their heart to you. They have pressed into you, God. They have desired you with all their heart. And, Lord, I'm asking you today that you would meet with them, that you would cause a key to be given to them, Lord, to unlock prophetic destiny, to unlock words that you have spoken to them, Lord, that they've wondered about and pondered about, but yet didn't know exactly what to do with. God, I ask you today that a key would be given, and that you would cause things to open up, that you would cause a developing of that which you have declared, Father. And I ask you for that solid foundation to be given to them. Life would be imparted. The joy of the Lord would come in even greater measure, Father, in this house, Lord. And Father, I'm asking you that this would be a church without limits, Lord. That there would be a removal of the limitations that have been upon this place. And you would break those chains of limitation, Father. And that you would cause this church to know her true name. And that this city would know their true name. That this region would know its true name and what you have called them for and why you brought them into such a time as this. So let that happen even today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So if you wouldn't mind just flipping to the next slide. So I'll kind of, whoever's doing the slide thing, I'll go like this. How about that? And that'll be helpful. So before I jump into the bullet points there, so let me talk to you about what is prophecy, okay? And just to help some of the, catch up some of those that haven't been as familiar with it or involved with it, et cetera. So God created prophecy in the very beginning. And it's just a way for him to proclaim a message to his body. And, you know, think about it this way. Why did God create prophecy in the first place? I mean, he could do anything, right? I mean, when he had the open tablet of creation, I mean, he could put anything on that tablet that he wanted to. But he created this. He created the gift of prophecy as a means or a measure in being able to get his message to the body or the church. Now, what basically is prophecy? It's just hearing from God and then speaking it. Okay? So I like to break it down into its simplest form. Prophecy is just hearing from him and then speaking it out. Okay, now, let me ask you a question. Who is supposed to hear from God? All his sheep, right? Every one of them. So if we say it that way, who's supposed to hear from him? We are. Everyone. That means everyone can prophesy, okay? Now, and so it's the hearing part, and then it's the speaking part. How many of you do not have a mouth? Raise your hand. Okay, well, see, there you go. You're all qualified now. You can all prophesy, okay? So prophecy is just hearing from him and then proclaiming the message. And then we're all supposed to be able to do that. A funny little story, when I was a kid, maybe 8 years old, I remember one day I was walking back to my dad's office. His office was at the far end of the house, and the door was closed. And I noticed that happened a lot, but I knew my dad was in there. So I was kind of wondering, well, what's going on in there? So one day I asked him a question. I said, "Dad, what are you doing back there in the office? I mean, the door's closed. You know, I don't know what's going on." He goes, "Oh, I'm just talking to God." And I said, "Really? Does he talk?" And he goes, "Oh, yeah." And I said, "Wow, you know, I'm 8 years old. So next time, you know, he's in the office, the door's closed, I sneak up to the door, you know, and I put my ear right down at the bottom of it, you know, just, all right, I'm going to listen to what God's saying, you know, because he's talking in there, you know." Now, that was like my first beginning of God began to stir in my heart the curiosity for wanting to be able to hear him, okay? And so that's where my desire began to grow. And so I've been on this pursuit for, you know, all those years since then to be able to learn how to hear from him. And by the way, I guarantee you, he has been speaking to every one of you all the time, although sometimes you just haven't recognized it. Amen. And so one of the things we do at Morningstar and as prophetic captains is we teach other people how to hear from God. And that's what Amanda's group is doing here in Roanoke. They're teaching people how to hear from God. And the cool thing is that, you know, what Amanda's team is doing is amazing. They're touching different parts of the earth just from that little office there in Salem, getting on the Skype, you know, system. They're prophesying to people in Africa and, you know, Latin America and China. I mean, all over the place. They're having an impact for the Lord, because they've given themselves to learn how to hear and then to speak that which God has given. Amen. Is that not cool or what? Yes. And you guys can do that here too. You know, and I know many of you already are doing that here, but I just want to encourage you, those who have not been involved in that, you can do it too. So talk more to your pastor, because I guarantee you he knows how to hear from the Lord, and he'll walk you through some of that. So one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, though, is I have a burden for the body of Christ that they lay hold of every word that God has spoken, and they don't just let it fall to the wayside and it have no life in it, okay? Because when God gives a word, when he gives a prophetic word, there's a purpose for that. He sent it forth to bring forth destiny. He sent it forth to call his bride into her true nature so that she would know her name and that she would be that which he spoke in the earth. Because it's supposed to be a proclamation, not only of who she is, but what God wants to do through her and what God wants to bring others into as well. And so I have a burden for making sure that people understand and are equipped what to do when they get prophetic words. So now let me ask you a question. How many of you have received a prophetic word in your life? Could you raise your hand? Okay, almost all of you. All right. Now, how many of you are still waiting for some of those prophetic words to come to pass? Could you raise your hand? Okay. Well, I think I'm talking to the right group then. Okay, I'm in the right place. Good. All right. I just want to make sure. When you receive a prophetic word, it's not a passive activity. And here's one of the things that I've seen in the body of Christ that sometimes happens. They'll have an attitude of like, well, I got that word. Well, if it's God, it's, you know, he's going to have to make it happen. And, you know, out of my hands. And I wanted to say that's not accurate. That's not accurate. It's not a passive activity. When you hear the word of the Lord, now there's a call. There's a call on your life. There's a tag on your heart that says you've got to come forth into that, okay? So you've entered into a time of warfare. Let me just say why. The devil hasn't been any different from the very beginning. And he's interested in taking your identity and your destiny. And so he's going to war against that word, okay, once it's been proclaimed. Because he doesn't want you to enter into it. Why is that? Because he doesn't want the bride to know her true name or nature. He wants to take their destiny. He wants to steal it. He's always done the same thing from the very foundation of the earth. Amen. When he spoke to Eve, his first thing that he did was he brought what? Doubt. Right. And that's what the enemy tries to do to you. Mm-hmm. You get the word, and then he starts sowing doubt. Well, has God really said that? Don't you suppose that prophet was just full of spaghetti that day? You haven't seen this happen. Well, maybe it's just was wrong, etc. That's what the enemy does. You've entered into a time of warfare. You've got to have that sort of mentality. I'm going to go after that, which what God has declared. Okay. Prophetic words are dynamic. They require energy and they're polarizing. And let me say why I say that. Because when you get a word, then there is a battle that's going to take place in your heart. Do I believe? Do I not believe? You've got to make a decision. Amen. You're in the valley of decision when you get that word. What am I going to do? Uh-oh, I think I'm touching somebody. You're in that valley of decision, right? And you've got to decide. It's a polarizing event. You can't stay on this side of the fence. Right. You've got to determine where you're going to go. Amen. Right? Okay. Now, I do want to acknowledge this. There are some words, and let me explain that third bullet. There are some words that's just like, no matter what, I mean, God's just got to make it happen, right? I mean, you could do whatever you can or whatever, you know, I think you should do everything you can to align yourself. But there are some things that only the Lord can cause to happen. Joseph, you know, was called to be a ruler, right? And his family were going to, you know, bow down to him. Well, you know, I mean, God just had to make that thing happen, right? Yes, sir. But Joseph had to do things to align himself to be in the place where he was in the right attitude and the right heart so that God could fully bring that to pass. Yes. So I do want to acknowledge there are some things that it's like, look, only the Lord can do that. But it also, as I mentioned in the first, there are some action steps that we need to do. And I want to give you four principles today. Or three principles today to make you successful in realizing your prophetic destiny. And I just call them these three. It's invitation, dialogue, and embrace. If you remember anything from this message, remember those three things. Because when you get a prophetic word, that's something that you need to begin to do. All three of those. You need to remember invitation, you need to remember dialogue, you need to remember embrace. And if you could go to the next slide. So under the first principle, so when you and I receive a word, We've received an open invitation. You have received an invitation from God. He is saying to you, I am calling you into this thing. So you've come into an invitation to enter into a process so that the future state, the future which God sees, may come to pass. Okay? So you have been invited to step into process to change so you can become that which he's declared. What do you think? Does anybody need to do some changing to enter into the prophetic words that they've had? Come on. Is there anything? Come on. Now, here's some keys to this principle. We need faith as we walk through this. We need a willingness to change, and we need some self-discipline. All of those things, to me, are important for you to be able to step through and walk through the process that God has called you to so that you can realize that future thing. Okay? And I'm going to give you some examples. So I'm going to talk about Joseph and Abraham and David. So if you just go to the next slide. So this scripture is about Joseph. It says that he sent a man before them, even Joseph, Psalm 105, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with iron, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. I don't know about you, but I've read that scripture over and over. Man, it troubles me. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Now, what is about that? Until that word came, that word tried. And I think about, wow. So when you get that word, until the time it comes to pass, that word's actually testing you. Yeah. What's the test? Will you believe? That's a huge part of the test. Will you believe? Do you agree with what God has said? Or is that just, well, that was a fun night. Let me just move on to reality. Mary got a word, and that word was, Mary, you're gonna bear a son, even though you've never known a man, and he's going to end up being the Savior of the world. Until she felt those little feet kicking in her belly, she was tested by that word. She was tested. She, you know, do I believe it or do I not believe it? You know, now, beautiful testimony about her life. Well, she believed from the very beginning. Let it be according to your word. Let it be according to what you said. Now, who was the guy that bore John? Him and Zachariah and Elizabeth. Zachariah. Is there a Zachariah and Elizabeth here?
Right here.
Come on, brother.
No, his name is Joshua.
Oh, okay. Well.
He played Zachariah.
Well, okay. It's close enough. So Zechariah, you know, he hears an awesome word about the fact he's going to have a son in his old age and how this son was going to do some amazing things and he was going to be a forerunner before the Savior. But he didn't have the same confession that Mary had.
Right.
His confession was, well, how can this be? Right. In other words, he stepped straight into doubt.
Right.
Now, God worked with him. Thank you, Jesus. God worked with him, and he did see that word come to pass.
Amen.
But I just want to encourage you, be like Mary instead of like Zechariah.
Amen.
You know, not this Zechariah. He looks like a good guy back there. You know, but be like Mary. Believe from the very beginning.
Amen.
You know, until you begin to see those little feet moving or whatever it is, the things. Believe him. Trust him. Because God is. But that word is trying you. There's a test that's going on in your life. About that word. And that's in the New Living Translation. It says this: until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. And that was what was going on in his soul. His character was being tested. He was thrown into a dungeon where he had to serve other prisoners. And by the way, typically when you're in a dungeon, you're not happy.
Right.
You're probably a complainer at that point in time. So he had to serve complainers. Anybody ever have to serve any complainers in here? Maybe the Lord is testing your character. Maybe, perhaps, God's been doing something in your life to bring you into a place of leadership, just like Joseph. You know, Joseph had to learn to serve faithfully, and he had to learn to serve with joy.
Amen.
In the middle of that. And that was a big test for him.
Amen.
And there's all kinds of different tests going on. Go ahead and take to the next slide. So how did that word test him? It challenged his faith, his character. It challenged his vision for the future. You know, when you're in a dungeon, it's hard for you to remember, yeah, I had that dream, right? I don't know about you, but I've received words sometimes. It seems like almost the opposite happens whenever I got the word, right? That's what happened to David. David, you're going to be a king. Next thing you find out, you know, he's being chased around the wilderness. And the only people that were joined to him were people who were miserable and complainers. That's what happened. You know, so his vision for the future was being tested, and his identity. That's what's being happening with you. Your identity is being challenged. You see, when you got that word, God is saying to you, this is your identity. But then your life circumstances tell you, no, your identity is this. Prophetic words are polarizing. You've got to make a decision. Which identity are you going to identify with? You see, God said this. This is who you are. You're this. You're to be a man of power. You're to be a city on a hill. You're to be that prophetic voice. You're to be that missionary. You're to be, you know, that woman who, you know, raises up generations. You're to be a proclaimer of the word of God. You're to be that worshiper who causes breakthrough in your community. You're to be this. This is who you are. That's what God said. And by the way, there's only one who knows the future. And guess who that is? He's the one who talked to you and said who you're supposed to be. How is it that we listen to the voices of the world and to the voices of our enemy and believe that rather than what God, who's the only one who can see the future?
Come on.
And by the way, he's already there.
Yeah.
And he's the one proclaiming to you, hey, this is who you are. But so many times the bride has settled for listening to other voices. And words fall to the ground because they don't have any heart to go after it. Now look, the scripture there in Psalm 105, it says, until the time that his word came. And the word time there means that appointed time. It's circumstances, it's a period, it's a season. So in other words, there's a time when the word that was spoken is going to come alive. And there you are. But you've got to position yourself until that time comes, until that breakthrough happens, until that, was it the baker? I'm trying to remember who it was that talked to the Pharaoh. Was it the baker or the butler? Who? The butler.
The
baker.
Okay.
Okay. So until the butler goes and tells Pharaoh, hey, you know, there's a guy down in the prison down there. He actually understands dreams. Until that time comes, you see, we've got to be in a place of faith and believing and trusting and laying hold of God, letting him adjust our character, letting him, you know, make changes, etc., until that thing happens. Because if you'll stand and believe, that word will speak. And it will not die. That's what Habakkuk tells us, right? That word will speak and it will not die. It will come to pass. Come on, make the vision plain. Write it down.
Amen.
Don't forget about it because it will come.
Right.
And the word tried there until the time came that the word of the Lord came to pass. You know, the word of the Lord tried him. The word tried means refining, testing, smelting. Ooh, I don't like that. I don't know about you. You don't like that. But it's a good thing because God is removing impurities. He's allowing you to go through process to take away all those things of character that are going to keep you from being able to successfully live in that future state which he declared over your life. So it's absolutely necessary. You can't skip this part.
Yes.
It's important.
That's right.
So anyway, go ahead and go to the next slide. So there's this refining of character that happens during this invitation process. Parts of us, you know, need redemption. And parts of us are already where they need to be, right? And, you know, so we've got some parts in the right place and some parts that are not in the right place. And we've got identities that we're supposed to walk in, okay? And all these identities that God has called us, like, for instance, you know, I'm a dad. I'm a husband. I'm a banker. I'm a man. I'm a child of God. I'm a prophetic voice. I'm a missionary. You know, and to some, I'm an apostolic person. I have all these different identities that I'm been called to walk in. All right. And there are parts of me and every part of me that has got to learn how to manifest Christ so that he might be glorified. So there's parts of my identity that need adjusting, that need correcting, that need refining so that I can be the reflection of Jesus, right? And you all have different identities that you prophetically have been called into. And God wants to shine through every aspect of that. But there's an adjustment that has to take place, right? David was a teenager when he was told he was going to be a king. But he had to learn what? He had to learn to grow as a leader. He had to learn to grow as a planner. He had to learn to grow as a provider. He didn't know any of those things when he was told you're going to be a king. You know, by the way, let me ask you a question. How come God doesn't tell us all about this hard stuff? When you get that prophetic word, how come he don't say nothing? How come he do that? I think actually, well, when you get a prophecy, you got it from who? You got it from a person, picked probably, you know. So when you get things, you've heard from somebody who heard part. Because when we prophesy in part, we know in part, right?